So I'm going to approach this by, I mean, I've had obviously some personal contact with Bante, but not that much. A particular little incident that comes to mind was when things were a bit difficult in my meditation. I went to see him, and in a way, he was just very sensible and straightforward with me, which I appreciated. He's been to the community that I live in many times for supper, and obviously, I've seen him speak a number of times. But in a way, I don't want to focus on that. That would be one way I could go. Another way would be sort of learning and discovering about Bante through hearing about him through his disciples, which has also been another big way I feel as though I've got to know Bante the man. Yeah, but that's not what I'm going to choose to focus upon either. What I am going to choose to focus upon, a bit like Ratnagosha, is the effect that his teachings, his talks, and his writings have had upon me. That just seems to be the primary thing. So in 1989, I was 23, and I went on a trip to Thailand, and that really sort of stimulated my interest in Buddhism, got intellectual curiosity in Buddhism about the life of the Buddha, and also had an experience in an international forest monastery there, which, I mean, you just put it in one word, love is the right way to live, yeah? Love, non-violence is the right way to live. So there was some sort of experience on that trip in Thailand, which I didn't fully understand, which seemed significant, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it. And it took me a couple of years. I went to until I got back in 89, and then I came to the LBC in 91, and then I went on 92. I went on the LBC summer retreat, which was led by Paramabodhi and Paramananda. I mean, it wasn't a completely straightforward retreat for me. I thought I was going to get really, into my meditation practice, and actually it was a bit more mixed and a bit more troubled than that. But at the end of that retreat, I bought Vision and Transformation. Somebody recommended it. Interestingly, you think these books have been out forever, don't you? But it was just like brought out a couple of years before by Windhorse, and just appreciation for having our own publishing house, because all of these things wouldn't have been made available to me without that. And I don't know, that text has become sort of symbolic for me in terms of, having some glimpse of some higher life or a different life or wanting to be different in how I came at life. And that text somehow providing a very practical, down-to-earth guide of how to transform oneself. So Bante just sort of straightforwardly taking us through the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. And I think in a way that started my real love of reading Bante's writing. And I think, I mean, I do like reading, and I've read, a lot over the years, but I don't think I've read more about any other individual or more of his own writing, if you see what I mean. So I think he's the person I've read most about, Bante, and his writings. And that particular text, I just really appreciate going back to again and again. And I suppose it's just really, shaped my life in some ways. It's sort of led me to sort of get ordained and teach and all of that. And going to be doing the summer retreat, LBC summer retreat, and we're doing it on this text, Vision and Transformation. So if, I don't know, there's something very pleasing about going back to that, and something very pleasing about just being able to share what Bante, I feel, has passed on to me in a very clear way. I find being involved in retreat teams, just one of the most satisfying things I do. It's not always straightforward. I get anxious about public speaking, and there's all sorts of organizing you need to do and think through. But at the end of it just feels such a worthwhile thing to be able to do, a privilege to be able to do. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without Bante's teachings and without the order. So another memory. You've only got 10 minutes, so you can just pick a few things, can't you? So another memory that bubbled up was coming to Padmaloka, coming here. And I don't know whether it's still there. There used to be a photo of Subhuti and Bante coming. I think that was like when they were like found Padmaloka, just when they found it. And I think when I started coming to Padmaloka in the early 90s, I don't think Bhante was still living here. But there was something about him initiating this and being here and his disciples being here that had managed to create this atmosphere which I was just very, very struck by. It was a sort of a sense of fellowship, spiritual fellowship, a sense of real warmth and harmony between friends and men here particularly, and playfulness as well as seriousness as well. And as a youngish man, I was just really, really struck by that. And it feels a bit sort of mysterious in a way. I don't quite understand it all, but it's just something I was deeply attracted to, and been drawn back to coming to Padmaloka again and again. So in a way, I want to thank Bhante for being the founder of so much in our movement, but places like Padmaloka, which I just feel just so supportive of people who want to practice the Dharma. I think at that time also I'd been at Polytechnic and I'd studied a psychology degree, and I think I'd bought in a little bit too heavily to the feminist critique of men at that time, and also I had some fears around homosexuality, and here gay men and straight men seem to be get on, and that was an issue, and I just really valued that and appreciated that. So I've kept coming back to Padmaloka, and in a way I've tried to put myself in conditions. Well, I've really valued the community here, and then I've chosen to live in a men's community for about 17 years now, and I'm still here in the community. And it, broadly speaking, there's ups and downs, of course, but it just feels a very good, stimulating, enjoyable place to live, which really supports me in my Dharma life. And I really have a sense of that, not being possible without Bhante. And I've got a girlfriend as well, so that's also important in the mix. And a bit sort of surprising, I'm still sleeping in a bunk bed at the age of 47. Who would have thought it, Okay. And then the next thing I wanted to evoke was the LBC building project, which was going on way before I got involved. That was going on 75 to 78, I think. And apparently morale was low with the troops, the people who were doing the building project. And Bhante was doing some lectures to keep morale high, I think. And I think, and this is my understanding, and I think it was on the Vimalakirti, this series on the Vimalakirti Nadesha. And I just think that's just such a fantastic series. And there's a particular talk which stands out for me. And I can remember I was living in Samagavasa community at the time. And so I'm in my little bedroom there looking out, and it's a summer's day, and I'm listening to Bhante, and it's the talk on being all things to all men. And it was just fantastic, fantastic. You just had a sense of the audience being really with Bhante. He was funny, he was clear, he was engaging, he was intelligent. And just at the end of it, I just felt so happy. I just got down and did three spontaneous prostrations, and I'm not want to do that usually. And I just felt very, very happy and grateful. And there's something about that, that spirit of just being able to inspire me, and I think inspire us to practice the Dharma, which I think, I think has been hugely important for me in my spiritual life, and I think for others too. And in that, it's just so much in that one lecture. I mean, I think you could, it's just all in that lecture, I think. But I mean, he's done loads and loads and loads of stuff. But he talks about the Sangravastus, the Bodhisattva practicing generosity, kindly speech, beneficial activity, exemplification. He sort of raises this sort of the Dharma ideal really, really beautifully. And yeah, I just think, and there's so many times when you know, you can keep coming back to Bante, and you can still find that clarity and draw fresh inspiration from it, from him. I was, you know, so like one of the things I like in that lecture particularly is about this, the Bodhisattva being able to really be himself and sort of meeting people in all the different places. So like in the casinos with business people, in the brothels with the princes, with the poor, with the ordinary people. He can just like move in between those different realms. And yeah, I think like after that, listening to that talk, I think actually I took it literally, and somewhere I got this idea I should be able to go into all these places and just be myself and just be the best of businessmen and the best of this, and actually it was problematic. So I don't take it quite so literally now, thank goodness, and I do see it more as a joint effort. And And I am sort of appreciating just being able to work with others at the LBC and elsewhere, just to do what we can to keep moving into new areas with the Dharma, which has in a way just given me a real purpose and direction in my life, which I feel grateful for.